thankful this morning that we have the privilege to sing and shout a little bit here. I know that's going to be a great time when we're delivered from all temptations and trials, heartaches. That certainly would be a time of rejoicing and a time of shouting and singing. We enter into the portals of glory. But I'm glad that God has grace, and I'm glad this morning that He will bless us with His presence, that even in this life, we too can rejoice and enjoy living. I enjoy my relationship with the Lord this morning. Count it a privilege to be one of His children, and feel like that that's something each one can enjoy. We acknowledge the need of the Spirit of the Lord this morning to bless His Word. I want to read in the 23rd chapter of, the 24th chapter of St. Luke, a little bit to start with. Well, I'll start with the 13th verse. This is after the crucifixion of the Lord. It said, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass, as they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one to another as ye walk, and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, said, answering to him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but they saw not. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." I'd like us to take note of the setting here of these two men on their way to Emmaus. And they were communicating and reasoning, thinking among themselves about what had happened just recently, how that the Lord had been crucified. The one that they had loved dearly and the one that they had followed, and I feel like in part had believed in, and had great hopes that he would be the one that would restore Israel in their way of thinking. And yet, of the way that they were looking at this, and the way that they were thinking, and the sadness of their countenance, it appears to me that in their communicating and their thinking, they felt like that everything had failed. In their human understanding, this was a man that we had hoped that would bring deliverance, that would establish a kingdom, but the chief priest had put him to death. And also take note that these people had the scriptures,
the scriptures concerning the prophecy of Moses, down through the prophets that had prophesied to the coming of the Lord, and also not only his coming, but also his death. And I remember that Jesus at different times had told him that he must go to Jerusalem, and that he would be persecuted of the elders and put to death, but he'd rise the third day. And now I find that there were some of the sisters that had gone to the sepulchre and found his body wasn't there. And the angels there had confirmed that he had rose again. And in all of that, I would think that they would have begun to think, well, perhaps the prophets did have something. And perhaps the Lord tried to tell us this. And why should we be sad? But this was their state as the Lord drew near to them. As he questioned them and heard their thoughts and their feelings and their lack of understanding, he concluded that they were fools and slow of heart to believe what the prophets had spoken. I kind of think in my own mind this morning that there had been times that perhaps in their minds they had heard some things. Maybe even had you asked them concerning Moses and the prophets, they'd say, yes, we believe that. We believe all they had to tell us. We believe their prophecy was true. We believe that surely that God is going to fulfill all that was prophesied. And yes, we heard the Lord say that he was going to suffer many things of the elders and be put to death. We believed that that was true. But if you note the important thought here in the 21st verse is where the Lord said, slow of heart to believe. It's one thing this morning to believe in our minds, accept in our minds, and it's another to believe in our hearts. And that's my little message this morning to us, is the difference and the importance of believing in our hearts. I find that with all the prophecy, then even what was unfolding before them, as the sister said, we saw the empty grave, and the angels told us that he's risen. You'd think that that would be sufficient for them to change their feelings and bring some rejoicing. Surely the prophet was true. Surely it's coming to pass, and it's all working out well. But they were sad in their countenance, simply because they were slow in heart to believe. And the Lord spoke to that and said that that was foolish. I would call your attention to the second chapter of 1 Corinthians now. I want to read a verse here. 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And that's what the apostle wrote concerning the spiritual things. He said the natural man receiveth not, or doesn't really understand the spiritual things, because they're spiritual. I believe in the 11th chapter of Matthew, didn't Jesus speak about how that God had hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes? In other words, spiritual things was revealed unto those who are humble and meek before the Lord. Well, I find that when it comes to spiritual things, things that are eternal, it takes the Lord to reveal them to the heart. They can be taught all the days of one's life. And we appreciate what's taught when it's taught right. But there still must come a time that it is revealed by God unto the heart. And these disciples of the Lord, even though they loved him, and I believe they had faith in him, and they were following him to the best of their understanding, yet because of a lack of understanding and a lack of true belief in heart, they were with sad countenance, or they didn't fully understand what was taking place. I want to emphasize this morning the importance of embracing the Lord, embracing the truth in our hearts, and not being slow of heart to believe, but being open-hearted and believing with all of our heart concerning the Lord, concerning His will and way in each one of our lives. In the 10th chapter of Romans, and the 9th verse says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There are many people today that confess that Jesus is Lord with their mouth, and they fail to believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. Or they fail to believe what he accomplished in their hearts in his death and his resurrection and his suffering and paying atonement for their sins and bringing deliverance. They simply fail to believe that in their heart. Therefore, they're not able to enjoy the salvation that the Lord had designed for them. Many people today will say they made a decision for the Lord, or they'll say they joined a church, and really they haven't come to the place that they believe in their heart, with all their heart, that Jesus is the sin bearer, or Jesus was the one that made the atonement for their sins, and through that atonement brought a power that delivered them from sin. And so they really have not come to the place where they believe in their heart in the resurrected Christ or the power of the resurrected Christ. Therefore, they're not able to truly enjoy the fullness of the plan of salvation that the Lord has designed for them. In the 10th verse it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So it's established this morning to become more righteous, it is through the faith and the belief of the heart, not just the mind. People can embrace creeds, they can believe in doctrines, they can accept churches in their minds, but unless they believe in their heart on Jesus Christ and His Word, they'll not be able to experience and to obtain the righteousness that He has designed for their life. So it's with the heart this morning that you and I become more righteous. People today can say, well, I'm not satisfied with my experience. I need more of God. I need to be more righteous. I realize I do wrong now and then. But until by the faith of their heart, belief of their heart, they yield and submit to God and God's Word, they never will become more righteous. Righteousness is a result of believing with our heart, embracing with our heart, receiving with our heart the Word of the Lord and the Spirit of God as He deals with our hearts and our life. I'll give you an example. Over in the second chapter of the Acts, remember when the Apostle Peter had preached a message, and in that message it certainly was moved by the Spirit of God. Day of Pentecost there, and he told the people their sins. He told them just what they had done, how they had rejected the gift of God, and how they had crucified the Lord. In the 37th verse, this was the people that had heard the message that Peter had brought. It said, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I want to impress on our minds this morning that they were pricked in their hearts. It wasn't so much that they just had in their mind to make a change. It wasn't that they become dissatisfied with the way things were going in their life. And they thought, well, I need to change the course of my life so things will get better and I won't have it so hard. It wasn't so much that they thought, well, if I join a church, if I start going to church, maybe things will get a little better for me. But it was something much deeper than that. And it was the very fact that right down in their very heart, they become what we call today convicted. Through the word of the Lord and through the Spirit of God, they become convicted. And so with that conviction, they cried out, what can we do? How can we respond to this? What's the answer? And did you know this morning that really that's the way it is in every heart that is truly one to the Lord? There first is a pricking of the heart. There is a conviction of the heart. People do not repent of their sins simply with the knowledge that they're a sinner. Sometimes people say, yes, I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved, and I plan to get saved, and that's well. But they never will truly turn from sin and repent of sin except they begin to believe in their heart, except they begin to respond with their heart. You know, they can join a church, they can say a prayer, they can have a good intention. That will never save them. What saves them is when they do, as Peter mentioned here, that they repent of their sins and they're baptized. There is a testimony that they have forsaken their sins and put their faith in the Lord and in the forgiveness of their sins. But that is something that's accomplished through believing in their heart. And it's the only way that it can be done. You remember when Paul, was before Felix the governor in the 24th chapter of Acts, and how he gave his testimony, what the Lord had done for him. And it said, Felix, as he reasoned, as he thought about that, he trembled. No, he trembled not necessarily because of the temperature of the room. He didn't tremble because his mind was just kind of bogged down. But there was a definite moving in his heart. And that's what caused him to tremble. That's what caused him conviction. One of the greatest honors, if not the greatest honor, is to have the God of heaven speak to one's heart and confirm the truth and bless them with what we call conviction. It's a wonderful thing to feel miserable about one's sin and to become very fearful that I might be lost. That's a blessing of the Lord. There are many people today that go on through life and give little thought to the eternal world, and they don't think too much about what it means to be separated from God eternally and to be in torment and have great remorse eternally. I think today that we really are not able to comprehend it with a natural man. But when God in His Spirit is faithful to bless with conviction, that's when man turns from their sin. When they recognize that I'm lost eternally, there's no hope for me, all it awaits for me is torment. And when God in His mercy and love reveals that to the heart, that causes them to repent. That causes them to call on the name of the Lord. When the Lord reveals His love, when the Lord reveals His sacrifice and His suffering for mankind and for us personally, that causes us to be moved. That pricks the heart. And that's the blessing of the Lord. And so we respond to that with sincerity and honesty before Him. And that's believing in our hearts. I want to return to the 24th chapter of Luke now and see what happened to these two men as the Lord was with them and as He spoke to them. In the 28th and 29th verse, it appeared that the Lord might just go on His way, but they asked Him to stay with them and tarry with them a while. The 30th verse says, "And it came to pass, as He set it meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, and while He opened to us the Scripture?" Wasn't our heart being touched? It was more than just some philosophy. It was more than just opinion. It was more than doctrine. But actually our heart burned within us. There was a moving of the Spirit when this man talked to us. And he opened to us the Scriptures. The Lord himself opened up and helped them to understand the Scriptures. Then, as he appeared shortly after that to the 11 and them, the 45th verse says, Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. Now, when it talks about him opening the Scriptures to them, it's more than intellectually that he opened the Scripture to them. But he opened the Scripture to their heart. And he helped them to understand it in their heart. The Word of the Lord, the plan of God, His way. And I would say this morning that all of us could be blessed in a greater way to have the Lord burn within our hearts, to have the Lord open up His Scripture, His truth, His way unto our heart. I appreciate godly parents. I appreciate Sunday school teachers and the ministry and elders and everyone in God's church. I appreciate them. And I appreciate the lives. I appreciate the way I have been taught. But I want you to know this morning, when it comes to my spiritual progress, it took the Lord to take what I was taught and to open my understanding and to reveal it into my heart. And I feel like this morning this is a real need in the day in which we live. It's a wonderful thing to have a knowledge of the truth. It's even a greater to have the experience of the truth working in our hearts and lives today, where it is actually an experience. It's not just something we're telling people is the truth, but it's something that we are living and experiencing in our heart and life because we've embraced it and we have believed in it from the heart. And with the heart we believe unto righteousness. With the heart we were able to receive the fullness of His truth within our life. Familiar scripture in the 16th chapter of Matthew. But you remember when the Lord was speaking to His disciples here in the 13th verse, and He says, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." That was kind of a natural conclusion, wasn't it? With the power that He demonstrated, the miracles, the conduct of His life, they were convinced that He was a good man, a man from God, a prophet. And they were able to conclude that in the natural. Some said it must be John the Baptist. Some say it's Elias. Do you know today there are people in the natural that can conclude a certain portion of the truth? There are people just in their natural ability to understand. They would say, "Well, I know those people are the right people, or those people that are true." They could somewhat come to that conclusion. And so there were people in the day of the Lord that knew He was a man from God. There was people in His time that knew in themselves that He was a prophet. But not everyone knew that He was a Son of God. Not everyone knew that He was the Christ. And so the Lord said, "But whom say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Did you know today there are people that would argue for the truth, that it never has truly been revealed to their heart? They're just convinced of it in their minds. And while we can appreciate that, this morning there is a much deeper and a much greater understanding and revelation of the truth. And it's revealed by the God of heaven. Amen. We can hear message after message. We can hear exhortation. We can hear teaching. and it sounds good, and we would believe it in our minds. But to incorporate in our life, it must be revealed by God. And that's what happens when we grow in Him. It is our desire this morning that everyone would grow in the Lord, that would come into that experience that God's designed for our life, a life of righteousness and holiness and victory. And it comes through our lives as He opens the Scriptures to us. I would encourage every one of us to pray and ask the Lord that He would help us and that He would open the Scripture unto our hearts, that He would open the truth unto us. And then when we hear a message or an exhortation or a lesson, and we'll say, that was a wonderful message, that was a wonderful exhortation, it won't stop there. It wasn't the fact that it was beautiful thoughts and that it was good to think about, and then maybe a day or two later it's gotten away from us. But if we embrace it from the heart, if we believe in our heart and incorporate it into our life, then it becomes an actual experience, a living experience of truth in our life. And that's what God wants. There is experiences this morning, spiritual experiences between us and God and related to His truth that no one can tell you, that no one can actually help you to understand it, except God through His Holy Spirit. He is the one that can open it up, that can reveal it to you, and that can make it a part of your life. And that's what we want the Lord to do. As He did to the two going to Emmaus, He opened their understanding. To the 11, He opened their understanding to the Scripture. He helped them to really know what it meant in their hearts. I think of the apostle in the 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. He says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Then, dropping to the 4th verse, speaking of Himself, He said, "How that He was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. And though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations which were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." What the apostle is sharing with us here is that he had received many visions and many revelations of the Lord. I would that we would receive more revelations of the Lord. I believe it's proper to pray for it. I believe it's proper to desire it. I appreciate my training. I appreciate all that You've blessed me with of those that I love and that I have confidence in. But in an individual, personal way, Lord, I desire more divine revelations. Revelations of the truth. Revelations of Your word, of Your way, of Your will. I want You to divinely reveal it to me. Have you ever had someone that was in need and you was trying to help them? And you'd talk to them and you would refer to Scripture and you'd do your very best to try to help them and it seemed like it wasn't availing at all? Well, I have. I've had those times that I would try to persuade someone of a point of truth. And I would use the Scripture, and I was sincere, and I loved them dearly. And yet, it didn't avail. It was obvious it wasn't getting across. And I wonder if there's sometimes, when it comes to our relationship with God, that He has the same situation. That He's looking down upon us and He loves us dearly and He wants to help us and He's doing His very best to reveal and to help us. It's important this morning to have a real open heart. It's important to have a real desire. Lord, I want You to reveal to me, I want You to show to me the truth, the way of the Lord. And I want You to reveal it down to my heart, that I'd be able to incorporate in my life. It would not just be a theory. It would not just be a beautiful thought or something that we hold or teach, but it's something that works in my heart and my life. And the Lord has revealed it. The apostle testimony was that he had had many revelations. God had been very real to him, even as much as he was caught up into paradise. A wonderful experience I'm sure we'd all enjoy. But I also would like to share with you this morning some of the apostles' testimony. Through this revelations and the effect that it had on his life. And in the third chapter of Philippians, speaking of the human things that would lift him up, would even consider him righteous. In the seventh verse he says, "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. And yea, doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." Do you know why the apostle had this testimony, why he had this experience? Because he'd had some truth revealed to his heart. Because he'd had divine revelations. And he could honestly say that I count all these things as nothing that I may win Christ. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. The reason he was able to have that testimony and that experience was because the Word had been revealed to him. And this morning, I realize that we can hear many messages, many lessons, how don't let anything come between you and the Lord. And yet we know this morning that many times people are hindered in their relationship with the Lord because of the events of life and things of life. But the apostle said, I count them as nothing. How do we count them? We talk about dedicating our lives to the Lord, consecrating our total self and everything unto the Lord. It's a good thought, but it's really only accomplished as it's revealed to us. Because it's something that we do with a decision of the heart. You can't consecrate your whole life just with thought or just with your mind, but you consecrate it with your heart. And when you believe in your heart in God and His way, you're able to make that consecration. But it comes as the Scriptures revealed. I think that probably most of us here this morning have heard to be a disciple of the Lord, we must take up our cross and follow Him and deny our own self. We know that to be true. Probably have that desire and intent in our heart to live that way. But I want you to know this morning it'll only be accomplished as you believe in the words of the Lord with all your heart. Yes, the reward and the blessing will be returned manyfold. That's what Jesus said. When we embrace that in our heart and believe it, then we'll make the dedication. Then we'll live the life. But we'll fall short until we do that. In the first chapter of Philippians. I've always been impressed here with the apostle in his trial as he was bound. And the 12th verse, he's speaking to others, and he said, But ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out, brethren, of the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of the Lord without fear. What the apostle is saying here is, though I'm bound, I'm mistreated, I'm not feeling sorry for myself, I'm not questioning why God permitted this, I simply see it as means of furthering the gospel. And others are being encouraged, and others are being strengthened. What it means to me is when you and I are faced with circumstances, when things happen to us that we wouldn't choose, and we might not fully understand, we too could take the same. Now, though this has happened to me, look what it's worked, and how it's blessed, and how it's furthered the gospel. But the apostle was able to do that because of his revelation, because of his understanding. I feel this morning that God wants to give us greater understanding in our hearts concerning his truth, concerning his word and his way. There are so many areas of truth today, and when we hear it, we appreciate it. We have intent of having it work in our heart and life. But I want you to know this morning that it's going to take God revealing it to us. You talk about a life that's given to humility, true humility, and the meekness of Christ. I want you to know this morning you're not able to comprehend that fully in your own mind. But it's when it's revealed by God. How often in earnest prayer and looking to the Lord has he showed you how you can humble yourself a little more? How you can just be a little meeker, and that's the revelation of the Lord. It isn't something you can get just through the letter or through your own analysis, but it's God working and his Spirit moving. And I'm confident that's what he wants to accomplish in more of our lives. He wants us to be a meeker people. He wants us to be more humble before him and before one another. Not just in the exterior, not just having the ability to control myself and to be able to be in charge of my actions exterior, but deep down in my heart, my very inner being, he wants me to experience his humility and his meekness and the power there is in that and the victory there is in that. And it's only attainable as God would reveal it by his Spirit to our heart. And we yield and submit to it and let it work in our life. I know this morning I talk a lot about love. I believe it is strong. I believe it's the foundation of our faith to love God and to love one another with a pure heart fervently. For mercy and forgiveness and forbearance and patience all come from that divine love. But I also know this morning we can be taught about it all of our life. But until God reveals it by his Spirit, we don't fully understand it. We may have good intentions. We may let it work up to a point in our life. But to have it perfected as it is in the life of Christ and those that followed him, it's only accomplished as I look to God, and God, through divine revelations, helps me to understand what it really is and how it really works, how it totally controls me and my life and my attitudes and my feelings. But I want to tell you it's real this morning, and I want to encourage you as you're walking to Emmaus, as you're going along your way, and as the Lord joins you, seek him to open your understanding. I've noticed sometimes in people's lives when they come to a knowledge that their days were very limited, when it was very obvious they weren't going to be here very long, except the Lord do a miracle, I've seen their understanding expand. I've seen the Lord visit them. I've seen the Lord help them see things that they were too busy to see, things that their mind perhaps hindered them from seeing. But God began to commune with the heart. And that's what we need as a congregation today. We need God to commune with our hearts. It's a wonderful thing to have one another. It's a wonderful thing to be edified with one another's testimonies and exhortations. It's a strength, it's a blessing, but it takes God Almighty through His Spirit to minister it to our heart and to bring it down into our understanding. And that's a great need this morning. That's what I feel the Lord has placed upon my heart this morning, is that He would help us to look to Him in a greater way. We cannot make it today just on our own thoughts, our own rules, and our own ways. God will permit things to come to pass that will reveal that to us. But with Him, we can. With Him speaking to our hearts and revealing His truth to us, we'll be able to be all that He wants us to be. In closing, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, I want to read a few verses. The 32nd verse says, "But call to remembrance the former days, which after ye were illuminated," revelations from God, "ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made gazing stock by both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you become companions of them that were so used." Then the apostle says, "For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance." Do you think this morning that anyone could do that just with the power of thought? And just because they were told they were supposed to? When the Christians were under a great fire and being greatly persecuted, saying to someone, "Well, if you're going to be one of them, you need to identify with them, and it'll probably cost you something." Do you think that in itself would give them the ability to do such? I rather doubt it. But after you were illuminated, after you were enlightened, after you were in the presence of the Lord and saw His glory and His truth, you're able to be counted with the righteous and suffer with them and take joyfully the spoiling of your goods. You knew without question you had something far greater in heaven, and you're able to be victorious and live the life. But it was after you were illuminated. This morning we need to ask the Lord to illuminate us, to enlighten us more and more about Him, His truth, and His ways. I want to make it clear this morning, a knowledge in itself is good, but it will not see you through. We have to have more than just knowledge. We have to have that divine revelation of the Lord. Regardless of where our life or what the condition of our life is, if we're on spiritual background this morning, the Lord will reveal that through His truth. If we need more love, the Lord will reveal that through His truth. We need to be saved. If there's sin in our life, the Lord will reveal that through His truth. Again, I repeat, I don't know of a more blessed, a greater honor than to have the God of heaven, through His Spirit, reveal something to me. Show me that I'm lost. I would appreciate so much and think it's such an honor that the Lord would be so good to me to show me that I was lost, that I wasn't saved, that I needed to seek His forgiveness. If the Lord showed me I needed more love, I don't want to argue with that. I don't want to deny it. I want to say, "Lord, with the revelation You've given me, I do need more love. And I seek that. I want that in my life." The Lord shows me today that I need to have whatever it may be in my life. Consider it a great honor and a great occasion in your life to have the God of heaven speak to you by His Spirit. May the Lord bless each one of us, is our prayer. Amen.